The founder of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Jones Sr., was one of God's great warriors for the faith. The message you will hear now, recorded during Dr. Jones' earthly ministry, illustrates his firm conviction that whatever the Bible says is so.
My friends, I'm very happy to bring you this 18th message in the series of 52, which I'm now making and bringing to you. I hope the Lord will help you to respond to these messages, and I hope you can tie yourself up with every one of them. I want to talk to you this morning on what a Christian should do about the fundamentals of the faith. But before I say that, let me say this to you. Did you ever stop to think that all born-again Christians believe the same thing? Now, that may shock you a little at first. As I've gone around my evangelistic work, people said to me, why are there so many religions in the world? Why are there so many religions? This religion, this denomination, that denomination. Well, now, things are not divided as much as they seem to be. We are not divided on the essential fundamentals of the Christian faith. Orthodox Christians believe all the same fundamentals. Now, when I was a boy, if I met a Baptist, I knew exactly what that Baptist believed. Or a Presbyterian, I knew what he believed. A Methodist, I knew what he believed. Met somebody else, I knew what he believed. But you don't anymore. All Baptists don't anymore believe the same thing. They should. They should, but they don't. All Methodists and Presbyterians and all of them should believe the same fundamentals, but they don't. Now, for instance, what are the simple, practical fundamentals of the faith? Now, what are they? Well, in the first place, the fundamental truth now with which we're dealing, and probably the most important truth at this time, is this. Whatever the Bible says is so. Now, that's fundamental. If the Bible says it, that settles it. Now, we have to remember that as a Christian. Anything that isn't in line with the Bible is not true. Anything contrary to the Word of God cannot be true. Now, there are no errors in the Bible. Men tell you there are errors, but there are not errors in the Bible. You can't find one there. There's no such thing as a Bible error. Now, there may be in some little translations a shade of meaning sometimes that changes with the language. For instance, there are certain words that belong to the early Anglo-Saxon. We don't use exactly the same words today. And sometimes there may be a shade of meaning in a translation of a word that we can clearly find out what it means. But that Bible has never changed. Whatever it says stands. That word is forever settled in heaven. And the first fundamental is whatever the Bible says is so. Now, we should keep that in our mind. We should never forget it. If the Bible says it, that settles it. All right, now, the next thing, what does it say? Well, it says that man's a sinner. That's clear. Man's a sinner. It says that man has to be born again before he can understand spiritual things. That's clear. I'm a sinner, naturally. I'm a Christian, supernaturally. All a man's got to do is to just go ahead like he's going, and he'll never be saved. Just go ahead and be yourself. Just be natural because you're a sinner. All right. In my flesh, the word says, there dwells no good thing. I'm a sinner. I was born in this world a sinner. If I died a little baby, I feel sure God let me go into heaven because the wage of sin is death. And I didn't commit a sin till I was responsible for it. See, as a little baby, I cried for my way. That's a damning nature in me, maybe. But I didn't do wrong. I didn't lie. I didn't do things of that kind. But I was a natural sinner. But I didn't know right from wrong. All right. Now then, man's a sinner and has to be born again. Now, the Bible makes it plain that there's just one Savior. Just one. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says as clear as language can put it, there is salvation in no other name except the name of Jesus Christ. Now, there's not salvation in the name of any church. No church can save you. No ordinance of any church can save you. You are not saved by what you can do. You are saved by what Jesus Christ has done for you and can do for you. Now, let's get that clear. All right? The Bible says that this Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. You know, the Bible way back there said the seed of the woman should bruise the serpent's head, not the seed of the man. The Lord Jesus Christ was the seed of the woman, but God Almighty was his Father. Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. I know the mystery there. I know that. But that's all clear. That's not as hard for me to believe as it would be to believe that Jesus Christ was a man and did what he did. If Jesus Christ was just a man, why hasn't there been another one sometime? why was the only one Jesus Christ? The only reason is that there's only one Jesus Christ is because he's the only one who was ever God manifest in the flesh. Now, he was born of a virgin. All right? Now, remember this now. He was God manifest in the flesh. Now, when Jesus walked around, God was moving among men in the form of a man. He clothed himself with a man's form. Don't you think that would sound sensible? If God wanted to come down and visit us and live among us, he'd evidently come in the form of a man. And so that's what he did. He clothed himself with a human form, lived for about 30 years or maybe a little longer. All right. Now, he who was born of a virgin was God manifest in the flesh. And then one day he died on a cross. He said he came to die. He kept saying, "Mine hour is not yet come, mine hour is not yet come." And then when he got there, he said, "For this hour came I into the world." He ought to have known why he came. He was God manifest in the flesh. He said, "Before Abraham was, I am," and there he was. So he went to the cross and died. Now, he took the sins of the men and bore those sins in his body on a cross. He died a vicarious substitutional death. All right, he was buried. The third day, he rose from the dead, literally, bodily, got out of that grave. Now, we read in Leviticus, as I think I referred to some time ago, the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul. The blood was the life was in the blood. All right? Now, Jesus Christ had blood in that body before he died on a cross. And when he went to the cross, he poured out his blood. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. All right. Now, 3 days after he was crucified and buried, he rose from the dead. The third day, he came out of the tomb. Now, when he came out of the tomb, he had exactly the same body, hands, feet, eyes, ears, tongue, flesh and bone, but no blood in it. That body could go through closed doors. That body could go up through space. A man could touch that body, he could take food into it. All right, he rose from the dead. He went back later to heaven. He's coming again someday. Now, these are the fundamental principles of Christianity. They're the fundamentals of our faith. Jesus Christ is the only Savior. Jesus Christ is set forth in the Bible, not by man, but by God Almighty. Jesus Christ is put in the place where he is supposed to be in the Word of God. Now, a man who does not believe in the inspiration of the Bible would naturally question some things about Jesus. Why not? He doesn't believe in the inspiration of the Bible. All right? The fundamental truth now is whatever the Bible says is so. And the Bible says, as plain as language can put it, that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Specific details are given. Now, he was either born of a virgin or the Bible lied about it. This is so or it isn't so. All right? Now, he rose from the dead. He was God manifest in the flesh, died on the cross, rose from the dead. Somebody has said the best established fact in the history of the race is that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. You can't doubt he rose from the dead. No man could plan a thing and make it appear as the resurrection of Christ is set forth in the Bible. Now, he went back to heaven. He's coming again someday. Now, he's the only Savior. Now, if you don't believe that, you don't believe the Bible. A preacher that doesn't believe in the virgin birth of Christ ought not to be in the pulpit preaching. Or he ought to announce to the world that he was a Unitarian and go on and join a Unitarian church. He'd have a perfect right under our system of government to join a Unitarian church. He has no right to stand in a Trinitarian pulpit. All right. Now, these fundamentals are held by all born-again Christians. You may be a Baptist, you may be a Methodist, you may be a Presbyterian. You may be something else. But if you are Orthodox, Bible-believing Christians, you believe these fundamentals. Now listen, men and women, we are not a divided group of people. We are one. In America, you have Republicans and Democrats and socialistic people. But if they're good Americans, they believe in the Constitution of the United States and the fundamental principles of our government. If you're a good American, if you're a born-again Christian, you believe the fundamental essentials of the faith. And you can go up and down this country anywhere you please and preach. You may not preach all that a fellow wants you to preach. A man that says you're saved by grace, and which I believe personally, by grace you're saved through faith, man that believes that, then what happens to him? Well, if you believe you're saved by grace through faith, atoning blood of Christ, you're saved. Then what? Well, somebody comes along and says, now you ought to be baptized. Somebody else said, well, he was baptized as a baby, he was sprinkled. So I said, that isn't baptism, you ought to go in the water, see. They say baptism typifies the burial and resurrection of Christ. Somebody else said, no, it typifies the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We pour the water out on them. Now, they're talking about types. They're not talking about factual things. They're not discussing what's factual. They're talking about types, see? And the thing that's divided most of the fundamental Christians of this country are certain types or certain things that are all right, but not essential. But all of us Christians can stand together on these fundamentals of the faith. Inspiration of the Bible, virgin birth, incarnation, blood atonement, bodily resurrection. We are not a divided crowd. It just looks like we are. We are together on all the essentials. You know, a Republican and a Democrat can stand together on the essentials of our government. And you can stand together with all Orthodox Bible-believing Christians on these essentials. And the hour struck in America where Christian people as individuals ought to stand together. Man has told me not long ago, he said, I don't see how you could go ahead and work with different Christian people. He said, I believe in baptism by putting them under water. Well, I said, I was immersed. I was baptized in a country creek. I was converted to Methodist altar, but I was baptized in a country creek. Well, he said, you put much stress on baptism? I said, no, I put much stress on the fundamentals of the faith. I said, you fellows are so busy emphasizing that. Not much opportunity to emphasize, not much need for it. Listen, you can put so much emphasis on something that isn't essential until they'll forget what is essential. There's great danger in that. You can overemphasize something that's good and something that's all right, and overemphasize and neglect something that's essential. And the first thing you know, they'll forget the essential thing and think about this other thing that's not essential, but it has some importance, see? All right, I said, this man, you believe a fellow ought to be saved before he's baptized? He said, yes. Well, I said, wouldn't you like these fellows to go to heaven before they go, even they walk around a pool? Listen just a minute, we are not a divided crowd. Orthodox, born-again, Bible-believing Christians can stand together, and we better stand together in this day and time. We're facing battles and difficulties today. The danger you face today is not that they're going to change the mode of baptism in your church. That's not the danger. The danger is they're going to destroy the fundamentals of your faith for your children and your grandchildren. That's what we're facing today. So what we need to do in America, all individual Orthodox Christians, ought to get back to the Bible, inspired Word of God, back to the virgin birth, and back to the incarnation, back to the blood atonement, back to the bodily resurrection, and back to the salvation by grace through faith in the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. And if you'll do that, you'll go to heaven. And if you stand for the blood of Christ and you trust Christ as your Savior and depend on Him to save you and say, I can't save myself, I can't do anything, I can't pay for it, but the gift of God's eternal life, you'll get to heaven someday. You ought to be the best Christian you can. The word's clear to you, obey it, but don't get away from these fundamentals. God, help us to see it. Our Father, bless us and keep us faithful and true and use us for Thy glory. We pray in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
You've heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith.
There's no better way to find out what Bob Jones University has to offer than to come see for yourself. Talk with our students. Confer with members of the faculty. But if you can't visit, call 1-800-BJ-AND-ME. Ask for a personal opportunity profile. In South Carolina, 242-5100.
Listen next week at this time for another message from The Word of Truth, sponsored by Bob Jones University.